720 WGN on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. A beautiful day. It is kind of Mother's Day Eve, and we've got Lee Scram back in the booth in the studio. David Jennings up there with his hand on the pulse of the news, the weather, and all the other kind of things that we need to know. But, Lisa, it's great to have you back.
Good to be back.
So you've been off on a sabbatical,
yeah,
right?
I had to take a little sabbatical. It was my grandma's 90th birthday party.
That doesn't happen
last
every day.
Week. Right, it doesn't.
So how do you celebrate a 90th birthday? Because, you know, you've got those traditional ways that you celebrate, at least anniversaries. I'm not sure. Do birthdays have that same thing once you get up into that rarefied air?
I don't know. I mean, it was nice. My family came from, like, all over the country to be there with her, and it's rare that we're all together. I made her, like, an Apple book. Have you ever seen those where you can, like, print a book through Apple, and you can do it through Shutterstock, all these different, you know.
So it's like a photo album of
right.
all the memories?
Exactly. And she loved that. She actually, I called her earlier this week, and she was like, I think I've spent 80% of my time reading it. So I was
Is it just pictures, or do you put
it's
captions
pictures,
in?
It's pictures, and I put captions. I kind of like made it a
like this me and you at the zoo
yeah,
kind of stuff?
Exactly. So,
no, yeah, exactly. No, is she a huge Cubs fan too?
Not so much? She's a Cubs fan, for sure. She's not as crazy into it as my mom is, but yeah.
And congratulations on helping out with the Rick Hogan show. That's
Thank
exciting
you.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And the launch, it's not every day that your grandma turns 90, and it's not every day that you launch your own podcast as well.
Yes,
so these
it's
are
been
some
a big week
these
for
are
me.
Some right, some momentous
yeah,
times
exactly.
for Lee Scram.
But I'm glad to be back.
And it is the day before Mother's Day, so we're going to offer the opportunity for listeners to weigh in, text in. If you want to call in, we'll try to do that as much as possible. We've got a jam-packed show, but we will try to read off as many of those as possible. 312-981-7200. If you want to wish, you know, a big on-the-road, happy Mother's Day for your mom, you want to share a quick memory. And if you got a car, a way to kind of incorporate a car into the story, let's say your mom likes cars, you know, who knows? You can go ahead and do that as well. And we're going to try to call, at least maybe we're going to try to call your mom a little bit later on today. Maybe I'll call my mom.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah, yeah, maybe we'll try to do that. On the show today, and these people ideally all have moms in some way or another, unless, you know, I don't know if we've got a way to get around that, maybe on the in vitro side or something like that. I'm not sure. Either way, Doug Bowles, he is the president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He should be joining us. I know there were some issues with the time zone. The Grand Prix of Indianapolis is happening down there 2.5 hours south of us. And today, a little bit later on in the program, at the end of the show, we are going to be giving away 2 tickets to the Indy 500 that's coming up on the 28th of May. And as well as we've got this could be a separate prize because it's 2 days away. So unless there's some kind of hotel situation, but for Carb Day, we've got 2 tickets for that. That's Friday, which you get to see the final Indianapolis practice. You get to see the Speedway. And then they've got those great concerts there. You've got Steve Miller Band, and then the Bare Naked Ladies will be there as well. So looking forward to talking to Doug a little bit later on the program, hopefully sooner rather than later. We are also going to have Shannon Spake. You know her and love her from NASCAR Race Hub on FS1. She's going to be joining us to talk about kind of the broadcast side of racing and kind of having that inside track on the backstory with the drivers, how they're doing, what they're doing, how they're feeling, and those kind of things. So Shannon Spake is going to be joining us, I think, after the 2:30 hour. And Tyler Florence, if you're familiar with him, at least you know who Tyler Florence is?
No, who is he?
Jeez Louise.
I'm the
serious?
Worst.
All right, now, Tyler Florence is one of the most famous celebrity chefs out there. Not famous enough, apparently.
Is he on cable?
Well, occasionally when he's not on the Today Show or something like that. Yes, I guess.
Well, oh, is he a TV celebrity chef or just a...
Yeah. Isn't that the way you get to be a celebrity
chef?
Yeah,
I guess so.
I guess so, right. So, yeah, you know him from Food Network out in California. And oftentimes we'll talk about road trips, great road trips that we'll take from Chicago to different places. And when we get some people who are taking a road trip to Chicago to enjoy it, we'll highlight them as well. So he's going to be in talking about a collaboration that they're doing with Cooper's Hawk on the wine side. Also a great Napa and wine country road trips and ways to enjoy that. And he'll talk first cars as well. And then Audubon Country Club, Mark Basso. Now, this is something I've been aware of for, 15 plus years when it was just a dream down there in Joliet. It is a country club for car enthusiasts. So if you don't have a car but love cars, and love race cars and would love racing, it's not safe to do that on the streets of Chicagoland typically. But they've got an entire facility that is a country club. You've got amenities, all the things that you would appreciate about kind of a luxury country club situation, but built around motorsports and automotive enthusiasts. So you can go down there, you can bring your company, you can do your bachelor party, your bachelorette party, And if you wanted to, and let's say you've got a great car that you're not able to enjoy to its fullest based on the fact that, you know, there's laws against speeding and driving around and racing people, you can take it down there and have a garage and facilities and mechanics and all that stuff. So we'll talk with Mark a little bit later on as well. And then Cars 3, at least I know that you don't get a chance to see all the movies out there, but one like Cars 3, you probably are going to make a point to see.
Yeah. I love Pixar.
Yeah.
It's Pixar, right?
Yes. I think it is.
Yeah. I liked Cars 1 and 2.
Wow, well, right.
Where could they go with it, though?
On the track? I'm not sure.
I guess we'll find out.
I'm guessing the storyline will be, the cars will be racing each other, but they build in some love interest. A lot of the things that you don't necessarily associate with vehicles, right, they bring to life, you know, all those, conflict, relationships, resolution, and ultimately a happy ending typically in the Cars world. And blockbuster Blake Stubbs is going to be joining us to talk about that a little bit later on in the program as well. 312-981-7200. If you want to text in, call in with a happy Mother's Day greeting for your mom, anybody who does that is going to be entered to win the two tickets for the Indy 500. We're going to give those away today. So everybody who has texted in, emailed in, sent in your first cars, any of those things, any way you want to participate in the program, you can be entered to win. And we'll do that as well as we've got those tickets for Carb Day, which is on Friday. That includes the concerts with the Steve Miller Band and the Bare Naked Ladies. Now, Lisa, are you familiar with these? I mean, I know you're a music buff. Are you familiar with those bands?
Love the Steve Miller Band. That's awesome.
Yeah, so you get to, and Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have them on the show next week.
Really?
I know. It's so exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? All right. So everybody stay tuned. Keep it here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back soon. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Scott Paddock, president of Chicagoland Speedway, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
And 720 WGN on the road with Dane here live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Mother's Day Eve. And we're going to talk to Lisa's mom in a little bit as well. Plus, you can also, add 312-981-7200. You can text in, you can call in your Mother's Day greeting. And we have a special guest on the line. It is my one and only mom, Elaine Pate. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dave.
What's going on? What are you doing? You're just hanging out right now?
David and I are doing a lot of gardening. That's why I found Roberto.
Hey, keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. Because,
is he listening?
Yeah.
You
never know. But
the photo. And we're changing out our shower towers.
Oh, nice.
We have shower towers. Yeah. Well, one broke, so we both got new ones.
So it's an exciting day. Listeners are going to be texting in and calling in with their greeting for their mom. So we thought that we would start it off and give you a Mother's Day shout out, a little bit early. Obviously, it's the day before and look forward to seeing you tomorrow. It is going to be an exciting day for Maxwell. So as much as it's Mother's Day and he's going to bring some stuff and we'll bring some gifts to bestow on you, but he's going to be walking away pretty excited as well.
What does he know? He doesn't know about the...
No, he doesn't know about the Wilburrito situation, but he does know about the ant colony.
The above ground condensed contained. It's contained in a brick.
Yeah.
It's really pretty. It's pretty marvelous.
Yep. It's going to be great. All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. Just wanted to wish you happy Mother's Day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks. It's beautiful weather. Tomorrow's supposed to be the same, 80 and sunny. Although your announcer just said it's going to be 57. I assume that's just Chicago.
Yeah, probably. We'll have to ask David Jennings.
It's 80 here.
David, any clarification on the weather out in St. Charles for tomorrow?
We don't have it broken out into lakefront and inland. So inland, I'm going to guess, if the normal pattern, it'll be warmer inland than it is on the lakefront.
All right. Thank you, David Jennings.
That's the best I got.
All right. No, thank you, David. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks, Mom. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. So it is Mother's Day Eve. And so what is the kind of thing that you do? We're waiting for Doug Bowles. We're going to have, he's the president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He is welcome to call in. I'm sure he's probably on the phone with his mom as we speak. But Leeson, you don't want to let the cat out of the bag necessarily, but I know your mom isn't listening to this program. So what do you usually do for your mom on Mother's Day?
Well, I love... just spending time with her is like the best thing I can do, I think. But I do have a couple Cubs-themed presents. I hope she's not listening to this right now. Mom, turn off your radio. Cubs-themed presents for her. Which I'm really excited to give her.
It could be anything. You know, the Cubs themed presents are...
It's everywhere. I mean, yeah.
What can you do? What, don't you already have everything? Now, for those listeners of the program that are familiar, Lisa is a big-time Cubs fan, and her entire family is. You know, her her mom, your brother. Doesn't he have all of the Vine lines? And they are the actual full issues. It isn't just posters. They're, like, stapled to the wall.
The covers from each Vine line from the last 10 years. Yeah, he's stapled to the wall. It's a very interesting... aesthetic.
It is nice. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I think we're going to have Blake Stubbs. We may have him to talk a little bit of breaking down on Cars 3, some of the famous actors that are in there, and it is a Pixar film. And then after the news break, we are going to have Shannon Spake from NASCAR Race Hub. She is going to join us to talk a little bit about what's going on down there in Kansas City as the stock car drivers get ready to take on the track there. So stay tuned. It's On the Road with Dane on 720 WGN.
Hi, everyone. This is NASCAR driver Kenny Wallace and Fox Sports analyst. You are on the road with Dane and WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase studio. We do have Blake Stubbs is going to be calling in. He says the line is busy. Lisa, he's trying to call in on the 8711 line. And so he's going to be giving us a call. We're going to talk Cars 3 when we get into that. And if you'll remember back, we had him on a little bit earlier on one of our earlier shows. And he talked about the best car movies of all time and some of the favorite car movies. And people shared so many of those. 312-981-7200. And Blake can call in with that line as well. The... Cars 3 is one of those where you have Owen Wilson got a chance to go down to the Daytona 500, and he was there. Mike Helton, who is the director, the executive director of NASCAR, talked about some of the different movies that were out and some of the movie stars that were there, including Keanu Reeves and a number of other different actors. He's just the one that kind of stuck to mind. He said the greatest movie of all time was Cars 3, and I don't know that that's necessarily possible. But it is one of those things that we got him on the line. All right. Hey, Blake, what are you doing? What's going on?
Hey there. Apparently my phone did not want to call WGN today.
I don't know what to deal with. Yeah, apparently we've got a couple of those going on today. So what we're going to do is we are going to preview Cars 3. We'll do that when we come back from the break. We've got to go to news and check the news out right now. And then when we come back, we'll get with you, and hopefully we'll get you on a decent phone line as well. But are you excited to talk about, you know, Cars 3? I know that's one of the movies. And then I'm excited to tell the listeners about, you know, the first one of our drive-in movie segments where we actually got to do kind of a deep dive into Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Absolutely. In fact, Cars is one of my most anticipated movies of this year. That first teaser.
Are you serious?
Really hooked me. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Every time Pixar puts out a movie, I'm jazzed. But that first teaser they put out had me raising questions. So I am. I'm really excited to see this one.
Well, Lisa, you know, our producer had mentioned, like, well, I'm wondering what they're going to be doing. Well, I know there'll be some things. We've seen the trailers that they race around on the tracks, but they kind of get into the mindset, you know, the romance that the cars may have, the conflict. And I guess there's some of those situations where they're dealing with the mortality on the car side and getting a little bit older in the car world as they get into the third installation of the franchise. So we're going to talk to you in just a minute after we come back from the news. Right now, it is 2:30.
You are about to become the biggest brand in racing. Movie deals, infomercials, product endorsements. Ka-chow! You think you're famous now? We'll be rich beyond belief.
Mr. Sterling, what is this about?
Your legacy.
See, 720 WGN on the road with Dane here, Allstate Showcase Studio, and so many people in the near future are going to be in theaters waiting for the next blockbuster for Cars 3. And on the line with us is our resident movie expert, the one and only blockbuster, Blake Stubbs. Welcome back to WGN.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. And happy Mother's Day tomorrow to all the moms out there.
So is your mom proud of you that, you know, through all of the trials and tribulations of raising a wonderful son, that you've become one of the preeminent movie conversationalists on this show?
You know what? It's one of those things where I absolutely, she's proud of me. Although she knows that growing up, all I ever wanted to talk about was movies, and I am an only child. So when it comes down to evening time at dinner, it's me talking with mom and dad nonstop about movies. And, you know, I have a lot of great movie-going memories with my parents and everything. So, I'd say she's pretty proud.
So, we've got a couple minutes with you, and I know people are... It was weird to see because, you know, you get to watch all the movies, everything from all of the, you know, the thrillers, the action, the dramas, the horror movies, you know, everything that's going on, some of the galactic space features that are out there. And we did a thing where we went deep on Guardians of the Galaxy. That is going to be up on WGNRadio.com later on tonight. And so excited to tell people to definitely check that out. But when you mentioned that you were super, you know, excited about highly anticipating Cars 3, I was surprised.
Here's the thing. So I'm 31 years old. I don't have kids, but I love family movies. I love going and seeing them with my friends who have kids. I love, you know, going and seeing them, you know, with groups of people because, you know, there's nostalgia in all of these movies. And Cars is 11 years old, the first film. So when you think about it, you're like, wow, wait, that movie's 11 years old. And the second film really didn't focus on Lightning McQueen. It all focused on Mater. This film is returning exclusively to focus on Lightning McQueen and the sort of, you know, sun setting on his illustrious career as a racer. And that first teaser they put out last year, I think it was around November, it was a shot of him flying through the air as if he was in the middle of a massive wreck on the racetrack. So they hooked me. And Pixar does this. Pixar is quite brilliant in the way they tell stories, the way that they market their films. I think that... we're going to be in for a treat when this comes out. So, yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait.
Well, so many times we look at some of the movies that are out now, and you and I have talked about it on many occasions about the special effects and how it changes the way that the movies appear. You don't think about it at all when it comes to an animated film. You just think, okay, it's a drawing. It is what it is, but you don't necessarily think of the special effects. But when I saw the trailers for this one, it looks a lot different than that original.
It does. And that's really a great explanation of how there's been a true evolution of this form of animation. I mean, Pixar, if you go all the way back to Toy Story, which I think still holds up, you know, that was their first full-length film. But then you look at, you know, this film coming out now, technology has improved so much that it can almost seem photorealistic, even though it's clearly designed to be animated. And I think that helps the audience, you know, transport themselves in, you know, the universe of the film when they're watching it, especially, you know, little kids. Because I know a lot of parents sometimes dread taking a group of young kids to see a movie because they're worried they're not necessarily going to pay attention. But this type of material, you know, when it's put up there, and by the way, I think this is going to be one of the first G-rated Pixar films since, I think, like Monsters University. So, like, they're going back to making sure everybody can walk into the theater and see this. And I think it's going to definitely, I hope it plays well. Based on the trailer, the full trailer that they released, you know, Armie Hammer is joining the cast and he's going to be playing the rival to Owen Wilson's Lightning McQueen. I'm hoping that, you know, we get some good action, some good storytelling. And there was a quick flash of Paul Newman's Doc Hudson on a sign. So I'm hoping that we get a nice little reacquaintance with Lightning McQueen and we get to, you know, explore a little more of that character that people definitely fell in love with.
Yeah. And you know, they want to make sure everybody can come in and see the film and then everybody then can head on into, you know, the local toy store. I know that there's going to be tons of merchandising going along with this one. You mentioned Toy Story and I think we've really gotten to a place where animated films are just as anticipated, you know, by people like yourself or adults as maybe they weren't early on, you know, where it was just more of a kid thing. You took your kids to the movie. I think there's going to be a lot of adults, you know, that enjoy these because you've seen it. It's absolutely mainstream now where you have A-list actors voicing these roles. This is, you know, kind of an iconic franchise when it comes to the animation, but you see it all the time. And it isn't a compromise where maybe it was in the past. You know, once Toy Story came out, you had the biggest stars doing cartoons.
Absolutely. And the big thing, too, and it's been proven in multiple films that Pixar's done, you know, they make grown men and women cry. You know, I mean, they're able to tell stories, not just, you know, show up beautiful animation and get A-list stars. But the fact that A-list stars join it, you know, kind of hooks there's a general appeal because it's like, oh, well, I don't, you know, like if you're a big Cheech and Chong fan, Cheech Marin is in this film. So is Tommy Chong. You know, Larry the Cable Guy is playing the one role that I think unanimously people enjoy him playing. And then you've also got, you know, Owen Wilson, Kerry Washington, and, of course, one of my favorites, Nathan Fillion, is joining the cast here. This is a lineup that, you know, it'd be hard to miss. And it's got the Disney marketing machine behind it, too. So I'm hoping that, you know, people show up to see this, and it definitely gets to forward that story that they started with the first film. Because I think that there's a lot to be said about, like you were mentioning before I joined, you know, the romance of auto racing. These films, I don't think, ignore that. And I think the first film was all about that. And now we're going to get to see an aged Lightning McQueen and see, you know, what's next for him.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I know people, you are not the only one that is anticipating this movie and looking forward to it as it comes out. Do you have the release date on it? Do you know when it's coming out?
I believe it's June 16th. It'll be mass released in the U.S.
So we got a little bit of time.
June 16th.
Got a little bit of time to line up and anticipate for it. And again, make sure you check out WGN Radio and WGNplus.com tonight and see Blake and I in our drive-in movie segment where we feature and go deep into the world of Guardians of the Galaxy. Thanks, Blake. And before we let you go, give out your social media one more time.
Absolutely. If you want to find me, look for me on Twitter, at Blake Stubbs. That's BLAKESTUBBS. I love talking movies, the Blackhawks, esports, all that goof. I'm a total nerd, ladies and gentlemen. You just hit me up. We'll have a great conversation.
He's the best in the business. Thanks, Blake. We'll talk to you soon. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to have NASCAR Race Hub host Shannon Spake from Kansas City. So stay tuned. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, I'm Shannon Spake with Fox Sports and NASCAR Race Hub. You are on the road with Dane on WGN. No left turns here, guys.
I'm going to Kansas City, baby. Kansas City, here I come.
720 WGN, on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us, she is a co-host for NASCAR Race Hub and NASCAR Race Day Xfinity, sideline reporter for Fox Sports as well. It is the one and only Shannon Spake. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. I would. I'm happy to be on this show with you because I actually spent a lot of time in Chicago as a young child and as an adult. My dad lived there when my parents got divorced, so I spent like every single summer in Chicago and know your station really, really well.
Nice. Shannon, it is kind of weird, and as a, you know, having been a broadcaster for such a long time in so many different mediums, it's cool to see. But I know we reached 38 states in Canada at night, so it's got a big signal.
Yeah, I love Chicago. I brought my kids there last year. We spent about 10 days right downtown. You know, we walked to all the museums. My kids are 7 years old, and it's one of my favorite cities in the world. So anytime I can come on and chat with you in your fine city, I'm happy to do it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. And because you're one of the, I think, sort of unique personalities in the reporting world as far as racing that has a lot of experience on the sports side with, you know, with football, with basketball and those kind of things. And as NASCAR is out there, it is one of the largest spectator sports, you know, in all of sports based on the size of the crowd, and the TV ratings are decent and all those kind of things. But from a coverage standpoint, you know, from a reporter's standpoint, how is it different in these reasons? Number one, the action is happening on such a big scale, right? It's all over the place and you can't see the whole thing at once.
Yeah.
And then the participants, you know, unlike, you know, let's say with the Cubs, you know, we've got, you know, 30 some odd teams in Major League Baseball, and there's like 30 people, you know, on each one of those teams. And so you have, you know, over 1,000 players, where in racing specifically, it's that same group of guys. And so maybe from a familiarity with the personalities of racing, you're able to do more, know more on that coverage. How does it work?
You kind of just said it right there, right? It's NASCAR is massive yet small, right? And then you feel like some of the events that you do, whether it's basketball, obviously being the smallest, but the event itself seems so much more compact. And yet, like you mentioned, it's so large in terms of how many teams there are and coaches and things like that. I will always go back to one of the major differences is the fact that, A, you cannot see the driver's faces, which I feel like in basketball and football, when they come over to the sidelines and take off their helmets, you can really get a sense of what these guys are going through in the middle of an event and in the middle of a game, whether it be, you know, excitement or defeat. And I feel like that's one of the hardest things about racing. Plus, as you mentioned, we're seeing what everybody else is seeing. So there's, you know, when I'm down there on the sidelines covering football or covering basketball, I can be behind the bench and seeing what some of the coaches are saying to the players during the timeout. You're not really getting that with racing. Yeah, you can listen in on the radio and you can hear a lot of the stuff that maybe doesn't make it onto the broadcast, but you're not getting some of those intimate moments that you get with some other sports. And, you know, and in the car, the car adds a whole new element to racing because you're not just dealing with physical human beings. You're dealing with an automobile that, A, can change. The handling can change on the car if the track temperature changes, if the sun goes away. You're dealing with all of these different variables. And so, you know, from a standpoint of knowing the drivers and it being a small community, yes, you get that. But there are so many more things going on that make it, to me, it's the hardest sport to cover.
Yeah, because you got to think about it. And some people would think it would be the exact opposite where, you know, hey, it's 40 some odd guys and that's what it is. But, you know, you kind of have to keep a dossier on all of them, you know, what their likes, their dislikes, their tendencies and all those things related to different tracks. And then also the tracks themselves, you know, in other, and we talk about it all the time, that the tracks sometimes are as big as stars as the drivers. And it's not like it is necessarily in football, obviously outside of weather conditions, you know, or basketball mm-hmm. where you've got that same playing surface where here it varies every time.
And from, you know, in NASCAR, you get there on a Friday and you're there all day on Friday covering practices, covering qualifying, covering driver availability. And then on Saturday, you know, we have the Xfinity Series race and oftentimes we'll have qualifying for that and a cup practice. And then the race is on Sunday. In other sports, you'll go to shoot around or you'll go to a walkthrough, but you're not covering it from a television standpoint from the moment that those cars unload to the moment they get back onto those haulers. It's a huge event. You walk through a television compound in NASCAR, and it is the size of the Super Bowl's television compound
right.
every weekend. It is a traveling circus. We have our own food, someone who makes all of the TV people, all of our meals, because there's so many people that travel from week to week to week. It's a huge production.
It is, and I think that's a great way to kind of correlate. It's a traveling circus or production that goes mm-hmm. through town, and I like to think of it too. And I think it's a luxury for the fans that are watching. Is no matter when it comes to their town or in some kind of geographical proximity, it's an all-star game, right? It isn't necessarily, you know, we look on the schedule. Okay, the Cubs are playing the Brewers. Okay, you know, that's all right. The Cubs are good, you know, but the Brewers, who knows? But with racing in NASCAR, every time you guys take to the track, I mean, it is an all-star game every week.
Yeah. And, you know, the show that I do right now, Race Hub, it's one of the coolest because, like you just mentioned, we have the players. We have the main people who are involved in the race, whether it's the winners or losers, every single week. This week on the show, we had AJ Allmendinger on the show on Monday. He was the one who was upside down in his car for 4 minutes on the roof of that car while the safety workers were trying to get that turned over. We had him on the show on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we had Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, who are the Penske teammates right now.
Right.
The penalties came down for Brad the same day that he was in our studio. And then yesterday, we had Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who was the winner of the race. And I challenge you to find a show who has, and granted, I know that the scape and the landscape of and the NFL and other sports are so much more massive across the country. They're not all located in one area. But to have the key players on the show every week, it's amazing. It's fascinating. I mean, it's so much fun to come to work each week to be able to do that.
Well, and here's the thing is you have like an extra, I think it's great for the fans, obviously, to have them and have them sharing those stories, kind of continuing those storylines that go on, you know, whatever happens on the track and kind of that overflow that happens and certainly how they feel. You mentioned, you know, you don't get to see the emotion a lot of times because they're in the car, they've got the helmets, the equipment and all that. And so you're able to do that as well. But I think there's an added, I don't want to say it's a responsibility, but I think it's a very cool thing that you're able to do with that because, and we do a little bit of that as much as we can on the radio side, but you know, you are right there with your hand on all of it is, you know, in racing, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between, you know, the drivers, everybody knows what they do on the track, but to be able to kind of have them share their personalities, their feelings, their thoughts, certainly they're breaking down the race from a sports perspective. But I think through the show that you do with Race Hub, fans are able to kind of get a gist on who they are. And I think that's something you don't always see in racing.
Well, and it is a crazy thing, right? Because if there's one sport that has more access to the guys and you hear from them more than any other sport, it's racing because you're talking to them before qualifying, during practice, after the race. The availability is incredible, and yet there is still that disconnect.
Yeah, and Shannon, you know this. They're like drivers are pretty conditioned not to come out of their shell unless they're comfortable. So if you have somebody like you that can make them comfortable, a show that they watch and enjoy themselves, it gets to be a little bit easier. But, you know, they've been trained from, you know, from the school of, you know, let's thank all the sponsors, let's try to, you know, and they're not always easy and conversational, and you guys do get that.
Well, and I'll tell you this, if someone like Tom Brady, right, if he was sponsored by, say, Home Depot, right, I'm just kind of going off it, and every time he said anything, he was representing Home Depot as their spokesperson, then I'm sure that he would also be, he would tread lightly in things that he said. And that's what these guys deal with. I mean, from a very young age, right, they're not getting tires on their car if they don't mention the pizza parlor from down the street. And if they do something that makes the pizza parlor mad, then they're not getting tires because the pizza parlor is not going to give them money. And so it is such a sponsor-driven sport, and these guys are essentially spokesmen for huge corporations and huge companies. So there is that responsibility. So yeah, you do get at times, you're not going to get someone as forthright who's going to talk, who's going to, you know, just, I mean, certainly we see it, right? We see it with Kyle Busch, and I feel like Brad Keselowski is one of the guys who's a lot more honest in his conversations. But there is a certain holdback because of that.
Well, he's okay. Tom Brady, he would be like Aaron Akan, right? That would be his sponsor. And sort of related is the, you know,
Aaron Akan.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I think it would be a perfect one. I'm just saying, throw it out there. The but Gronkowski was at the Daytona 500, got a chance to go to the Daytona 500, and was in on the drivers' meeting beforehand. Mike Helton got up, and you know that scenario where they've got kind of a cavalcade of stars behind them, everything from sports coaches, Olympians, movie stars, TV stars, athletes, and all that kind of stuff. And Mike Helton mentioned that, you know, there's some great movies out there and movie stars there. I think Keanu Reeves was in there is one of the other ones, too. And then he said, but the greatest movie of all is Cars 3. And that's coming up. And Owen Wilson is here as well. And so how exciting is this? And I saw a little clip where you mentioned you've got some extra mom street cred, no pun intended, by being a part of it. But it's the kind of thing that does, you know, we've got kids, you know, a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and they would be blown away way more by something like that than something traditionally in the broadcasting career. So how cool was it to be able to say you're in that movie?
I think my kids are kind of over hearing me say that, like, I'm this character in Cars 3. And I think they just are like, all right, Mom, when we see it, we'll get excited again. Because we were excited, and now it's kind of passed. But I know that they're going to be excited when it comes out. And then, like I said, I've said it a couple of times, I'm like the coolest mom in the first grade because all of their little friends are just over the moon. The fact that, you know, I'm in Cars 3. Who knows how large or small the role is? It could be just one line, but it's still very cool. And there's going to be a lot of little kids in the first grade that are going to be getting little Shannon Spokes die-cast cars for Christmas this season.
Come on. When you've been immortalized into a toy... That's pretty awesome. I know you're humble, you know, whatever.
Pretty cool, yeah.
That is pretty awesome.
Exciting, for sure.
As the sport kind of moves on, and we've talked to a number of people about, you know, the changes in the scoring and some of the ways that that's kind of blend and accommodate, you know, the TV situation and the fans, you know, I did want to get your thoughts on it as well, especially because of your background, you know, covering other sports and all of that that has to lend itself to the broadcast side of it. So what are your thoughts on it? Do you think this is the kind of thing that'll help, you know, take racing and NASCAR into a level maybe it hadn't been before? Was it the format that was holding it back?
I think it's a first step, but I think that the environment that we live in nowadays, the social media environment, the get it now, the highlight driven environment, I still think that the races are too long. I think the segments have given people something to look forward to in terms of the cautions, and it's changed the strategy of the racing. It has the drivers racing for something at the end of these stages, but I do think that the races are still a little bit too long, because I think that third stage, we start to see it kind of, you know, they're long laps, and oftentimes they're long green flag laps. But this is the thing about racing, is anytime there's any suggestions from the drivers, and the drivers have really got, I mean, they're the ones that wanted this stage racing. They spoke and they got what they wanted. NASCAR is willing to adapt. They're willing to make changes, and they're willing to do that for the longevity of the sport, to make it better, to make it more interesting. So, one of the cool things that we're doing for the All-Star race is they're going to give some guys a different set of tires, softer tires, and they're going to be green. So, I mean, it's just these visual things and things to kind of shake things up. Is it the fix for racing and for ratings and to make it more exciting? No, but it is absolutely a step in the right direction, because we've seen some incredible racing this season so far.
It's cool to see racing. racing get to some of these newer markets? It's been, you know, X amount of years since obviously we got the track at Chicagoland. You guys are going to be in Kansas. And you mentioned when you come to Chicago, you go and enjoy what it is Chicago has to offer, whether it's the your museums, the sports, the restaurants. Hopefully you're getting out and enjoying some of that food. But for a place, you know, some of these other markets where, you know, you get to go, and obviously the fans from that area enjoy what it is that you do and all those drivers, but you get to get out there too. You want to name off a couple different places around the country you enjoy visiting and you look forward to race-wise?
Well, I mean, if you want to see a good race, what we saw last weekend, Talladega is one of my favorites. And there's not a whole lot to do out there in Talladega, but from a race experience, from the time you pull off the highway, it's just hundreds and hundreds of acres of just preparing to enter this real big track. And it's the largest on the circuit, and it's just such an experience. It's such a cool, cool, cool race to go to. And I always tell people that that's one that they should go to. Las Vegas is great. A lot of people go out to Vegas because they can do Vegas at the same time, and it's a fun racetrack to go to. I'm more of a traditionalist. Like, I love the Martinsvilles and the Darlingtons and some of the tracks that have been around for a very long time. I enjoy the throwback mentality of some of those racetracks, and so those are my favorites. And of course, Charlotte. If you're ever in, we got a great airport. They have direct flights from Chicago,
yep.
And so you can get straight into Charlotte. And the All Star race is here, which is, you know, like you mentioned, every week is an All Star event, but this is like the true All Star event, and it's in stages. It's 20 laps, 20 laps, 20 laps, and then a 10 lap shootout with just 10 drivers, and those special tires. So I don't know. I love Charlotte, Martinsville, Darlington, and Talladega is my favorite.
Yeah, I know the fans are going to love it. We're loving it, too. And, of course, people are loving what it is that you're doing. Let the listeners know we're talking with Shannon Spake. She is the co-host for NASCAR Race Hub and, of course, on Saturdays with Race Day Xfinity. So, Shannon, before we let you go, let people know where they can see you and also on your social media, too. You know, all the kind of things that you're doing, people can catch up with your adventures as you go across the country.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and on Instagram, Shannon Spake, and that's just Shannon, Shannon Spake. And I host with Adam Alexander Race Hub. It's on FS1 Monday through Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern. And we're ready for Kansas this weekend. We're back to the mile and a half track, which make up the bulk of our schedule. So, you know, we're just moving along, but it's a great little show. The producers and all the people that work on this show it's a great product, I think, from a person who is a fan of television.
Right.
It's a really cool product from what the behind-the-scenes people do to just make us look good up there.
Yeah, no, it's exciting stuff. Obviously, the stuff on the track is what draws people in, but you guys have that whole backstory that I think is so important to give you the full picture of everything and everybody involved in racing. So thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for being on the show today.
No problem at all. Anytime.
Hey, this is Tyler Florence, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
Yeah. 720 WGN on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And in studio with us, we have the worlds of food, collaboration, television, and of course, entertainment at all times are coming together. In studio with us, we have the CEO and founder of Cooper's Hawk Winery, the one and only Tim McHenry. And in studio with him and working together here in Chicago, his acclaimed chef, restaurateur, author, Food Network star, television personality, the one and only chef, Tyler Florence, in from California. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So glad to be here. And so glad to be sitting here on this side of the microphone in studio with you, because you are so gracious. Every time I'm at Aspen Food and Wine Classic or we're here for the International Houseware Show, you always stop by and give me a soundbite. And I can't thank you enough for keeping the flame going in Chicago for stuff that we work on, and it's exciting to be here today.
I think it's a supply and demand thing, is that because of all the work that you've done, people are excited to hear what it is that you're doing. You're so active on a lot of the things. But, yeah, it is cool, you know, having interviewed you all around the country, you know, on the side of a mountain or in a kitchen somewhere or in a banquet hall or even at the James Beard Awards. Nice to have you in doing sort of a home game here in the studio. So good to have you in, Tyler Florence. But you guys are both here. Now, Tim, you're here on a regular basis when you're not traveling the globe seeking out the greatest wines to incorporate into the Cooper's Hawk empire. And I love this story. And Tyler, as you know him from his work on Food Network and, of course, all the stuff that he does in the food world, but also his winery as well. and you guys have collaborated and gotten together to create something that is greater than the sum of the parts, is a brand new wine.
So I'm really excited to be working with them. I mean, it's the Cooper's Hawk is the largest wine club in America, and they have such a fantastic, dedicated audience, and they're really disrupting the wine space. Every single year, they're just coming out with something new and exciting. And we met last year at the Aspen Food and Wine Classic. We had a glass of wine together, like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. We talked for 2 hours and really discussed, you know, what a collaboration would look like. And it was one of those things that as soon as I heard the idea, and we had not had a chance to meet formally, but I had heard everything about Cooper's Hawk. It's such a dynamic, new, young company. New, young company. You guys are 10 years old, by the way. But they say overnight success takes 10 years, and here we are.
Yeah.
But we just jumped into it right away, and we wanted to get the timing right. So we felt like we wanted to, you know, sort of have a spring, early summer launch. We wanted to get the wine right itself, so we decided to go with a rosé because I just feel like it's what people are drinking today. And
yeah.
Then we took it to the next level and decided to make a rosé from Pinot Noir, which is really uncommon. And I think we've made, you know, a spectacular summertime, everyday rosé. Or brosé. I think we made a brosé.
That's right. Yeah, we just discovered that this morning. That's a great new word.
A brosé?
We made a brosé,
right,
man.
Wow. That's a word.
It's like a think tank right here.
Yeah.
We're having
we're
that happen.
Trademarked that thing.
Well, it is high praise from somebody who's done as much as you have, Tyler, in the wine world. And as although Cooper's Hawk may be a little bit under the radar for some people, even for us here in media and food media, it isn't necessarily the first thing you think of. But once you get into it and you get your head around the things that they've accomplished, the amount of people that they touch and inspire in the world of wine, it is kind of mind-blowing. So I can imagine that first conversation in Aspen, starting out as like, hey, you into wine? I do wine. And then it's 2 hours later, and boom, you guys have a brosé coming, right? So, Tim, talk about it. And that's one of the things that I love about Cooper's Hawk, because it is a restaurant. And for those people that just are out, you know, living under a rock, it is restaurants, a wine club. It is wine forward, but certainly food considerate. And one of the very cool things that you guys do is you don't sit there and think that you know everything about the world of wine. You're always out there exploring and experiencing and collaborating. So talk about some of those things that you guys have done, bringing other stars of the wine world in to create things that are really special.
No, well, thank you. It is probably one of the most rewarding parts of what we do at Cooper's Hawk. I mean, first and foremost, working with some of the greatest people in the industry, having so much fun all day, but being able to collaborate with great guys like Tyler has just been incredibly rewarding. You know, to just let the creative juices flow. I mean, we started with a meeting in Aspen, as you mentioned, and to be here a year later, mm-hmm. roughly a year later, having created this wonderful wine together. We're going to throw the party of the century for 350 of our closest wine club member friends.
Inspiration and there's your incentive to join right there for the next one. Who knows what's coming next?
That's right. But I think, you know, obviously we're running, you know, busy restaurants. We're making a lot of wine, a lot of great wine, serving a lot of people. But to be able to do innovative, fun things, it's just fun. I mean, we're getting paid to have fun. It's just it's incredible.
We had breakfast this morning, and we were just like talking about how lucky we feel like we are, you know, to be in a position where we can just throw parties and show people a good time.
And
really do it from a great place, right? Because if we weren't doing this together, we would do this anyway every single day. So it's so nice to, a couple things, be in Chicago first and foremost, because it's such a dynamic city. And we were here for, you know, the James Beard Awards. So great to be here for a solid week. And then to launch this, one of the most delicious wines I've ever made. I've been making wine for 10 years in California. And we won, you know, 40 medals and scored really, really high in Wine Spectator and Wine Enthusiast. And it's so nice to, you know, keep pushing our own envelope in the winemaking world and never stopping with something that, you know, a Sauvignon Blanc that we happened to get, you know, 89 or 90 points on, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. We could still make that every single year if we wanted to. But I always want to push the envelope and make things that are, you know, uncommon and maybe even something you've never even had before.
See, but that's cool. It's easy to sit back on your laurels and say, hey, it's not broke, don't fix it. But when you're thinking about it, I think just some of the success that has made you guys leaders in your field is the kind of thing that pushes you to always change things. Tim, I wanted to get your input on this. You know, Tyler, in the wine world, there's so much history for it, and some of that history and the way things are done, it leads to great and amazing things, but also it can be a little restrictive. And Tim, I know growing up in the Midwest, not necessarily Chicago's not, it's known for a lot of things, but not necessarily known as the greatest wine-centric city. Is that part of what has made you successful, especially with getting these people to work together to make these amazing and special wines? Is it that you're not from that strict background where you kind of came in thinking outside the box?
Yeah, no, I think that is a huge part of how we ended up being where we are. You know, we just don't take ourselves too seriously, right? You know, I study, live, and breathe wine, both domestic, internationally. So, you know, trying to take some of those great experiences and introduce it to maybe people that haven't experienced some of those things. But wine is fun, food is fun, and, you know, to be able to continue to push the envelope, like with the collaboration that we're doing here this week and this month, I mean, that's what it's all about. So to answer your question, I think the approachability of the wines that we produce at Cooper's Hawk have led to a lot of our success. I think the ability for people to come in and buy wine and be able to taste that wine before you buy it. You know, I'm as, I think, sophisticated into wine as you can possibly be. But still, when I go to Binny's and I look in the wine section, you can't possibly know all the labels, know all the brands, and know everything about it. So you're lost in this sea of looking at price, looking at labels, looking at the varietals, the region, and then ultimately making a educated guess as to whether that wine might be good or not. At Cooper's Hawk, you walk in, you know the quality is going to be there, you know the price range, and you can taste the wine before you buy it.
Well, Tyler's always been one of those guys that's been very approachable. So many fans out there, one of the things they really love about him is he makes a lot of, you know, the mystery, whether it's the wine world, the food world, you know, accessible and understanding. And fun. And is that kind of where you come from, too? Because you're kind of, Tim, a different animal in the wine world, whereas a lot of it is, I don't want to say it's necessarily elitist, but there's a lot of, you know, where it can be unapproachable for a lot of people. But you come in and you mention as in tune as you can be, and you're working together with some of the best, making some really great wines. But you do always have your customer as a businessman, as a restaurateur, in the back of your mind saying, hey, this has got to be bigger things and more things for more people.
Absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, the way that it starts out is we have an opportunity to know a little bit about Tyler just through, you know, friendships and relationships and obviously all the work on television. So it starts with, hey, we got to call this guy and we got to do something together because it would be awesome and personally will be a lot of fun. So that's where it starts. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I'd like to hang out with Tyler and have some fun, make some wine, cook some food. I bet our wine club members would like to do that as well. So let's do something. Let's create some wine, have an event. And so, I mean, think of, you know, for paying $18.99 a month to be a member of our Cooper's Hawk Wine Club, to be able to have access and come to an event, because you have to be a wine club member to come to Tyler's event, our event. It's just, it's access and accessibility to this awesome guy.
And you're always curating not only great food, great wine, great personalities and all that kind of stuff. But as we let you go, so Tim, what's it going to mean for everybody else? Like, how is everybody else going to get their hands on this and be able to enjoy it not only now but all through the summer?
Well, I will tell you, and Tyler's right, this was a very special batch that we put together, so it is in limited supply for sure. So we learned our lesson. Now we now that we know we can make great wine together, we're gonna have to double it up next year. But yeah, the key is get in quick, and if you're not a member of the wine club, I'm just telling you, you're missing out. This is where it's at. This wine has all the aromas and all the greatness that Tyler spoke about, but it's just got awesome written all over it.
For those people hearing this now and say, I got to get in on this, how can they become members of the wine club? What's the website?
Yeah, chwinery.com. Visit any one of our 8 locations in Chicago and have some fun.
Tyler, we've seen him here in Chicago for Housewares, of course, for the James Beard Awards as a presenter, and now here front and center with Cooper's Hawk. But Tyler, how can people keep up with all your adventures? And there are so many. The TV stuff, the books, the products.
Yeah.
And of course, the wine.
Exactly. You know, no 2 years are the same. And we try to just kind of follow a really good, you know, like bellwether of like, where do we want to go? Are we having a good time? This is my 21st year on television with Food Network.
Wow.
Great Food Truck Race Season 8 starts in a couple of weeks. That's going to be on the air at the end, the middle of August, I think August 16th, whatever the second Sunday of August, that's generally when it premieres. We have a new cookbook series called Family, Friends, and Weekends. If you follow me on social media, at Tyler Florence, and that's on Twitter, that's on Facebook, and that's on Instagram, there's a direct link to our new cookbook series, which is we're selling out as a subscription, so you actually get 4 books a year instead of 1 book every 24 months.
Nice.
Which is super exciting. And we're, you know, I've been making wine for 10 years. I'll make wine for the rest of my life. Found a really nice collaboration with Cooper's Hawk, and it feels good. It feels really good that we can not only, you know, make some great wine, but we can also have a good time in the kitchen as well. So we're going to be doing that, and life is good. We also have a brand new podcast called Wolf It Down, which
Wolf
has got 5 stars on iTunes. So definitely check that out. It's on iTunes and also TuneIn, which is super fun. And life's good, man.
Ways to enjoy Tyler Florence. The newest way is, of course, part of the collaboration for the rosé with Cooper's Hawk and Tyler. And we've asked him this before. You know, one of the great ways to enjoy California wine country is through those road trips. And so if you can, and as really an official ambassador to California, as the face of California, like what are, if people are going to take one of those road trips through wine country, do you have a, maybe a first suggestion for them to try?
Well, there are so many amazing opportunities to really experience California, and there's no wrong way to approach it. Like Sonoma is, you know, just sort of beautiful and rugged and you know, rich, interesting soil. You know, some of the best Chardonnay in America comes out of the Russian River and Alexander Valley. Some of the best Pinot Noir comes out of the Carneros region that splits between Sonoma and Napa. You know, if you get up to, you know, the up in the upper regions of like Hope Valley, I mean, and Napa, like some of the best Cabernet Sauvignon in the world. Nice kind of warm weather, and even areas outside of Napa and Sonoma specifically are starting to produce like really rich, incredible wines. So California is one of those magical landscapes that you just have to go and experience. And it's not about like going and spending a ton of money. It's about just being there and watching the sunset, because like you smell the fresh air, you taste our incredible fresh produce, you have you know, some of the best wine in the world, and you really feel the magic of what that is. And but what I love about Coopersalk, which is so great, if you can't go there next weekend, we're going to bring Napa to you. And so if you get a chance to go to the restaurants, you can really experience what they're doing. And it's not necessarily a wine estate as much as they're just curating the best grapes that California has to offer. And so they're not limited by terroir. They're limited by their imagination, which is infinite. If they want to make some sort of super spectacular rosé out of Pinot Noir, let's just go get the best grapes and make that happen. So they're telling stories up and down the coast of Coopersalk. It's like I said, it's the largest wine club in America, and excited to be working with these guys, and because you get a chance to kind of flex your muscle as an artist and make something really great and show some people some good time. So we're excited to do that.
It is amazing stuff, and of course you can enjoy Tyler's stuff out in California. If not, they're going to bring Napa to you, and get in the car and get out there and enjoy some of the sights and sounds of California up the coast, and certainly wine country, where you've got great food, great wines, and beautiful scenery as well. Last question, Tyler, it's something we do here on the road. I know you're so identified with the food truck, and that is an important part of what it is. But that probably wasn't your first car, and of course for the California campaign, you're riding motorcycles. What was your first actual like automobile that you got in?
Oh, my first car?
First car
I ever had when I was a kid?
Ever.
I had a 1966 Comet Capri that I bought from my grandfather for $500. And can I tell you, it's the reason I'm a chef. Because my parents sort of kind of grew up middle class, and my dad was a big backbone guy. And I was like, Dad, you know, I'm 15 and, you know, I want to start dating girls and I really want a car. And he goes, oh, you want a car? Oh, do you know how to get a car? I'm like, well, I'm hoping you could help me out and get a car. He goes, I'll help you out. I'll tell you how to get a car. You go get a job, right? And you save your money. And you buy a car. That's how you get a car. And so with that, I started washing dishes in a restaurant, and the rest is history. But wow. That 1966 Comet Capri, I remember I jerry-rigged a tape deck and some speakers. It took me 6 months to save $500 to buy that car, and it was one of my proudest possessions when I was a kid.
And what was the tape that was stuck in the tape deck?
Oh, it was probably Bon Jovi, or U2,
nice.
Or you know, or something like that. But I just remember the freedom of like, you know, rolling the windows down, you know, for the first time, and just, you know, driving. It's like at 11 o'clock at night when you work in restaurants and you're getting out, like, and it was just, it felt like freedom. It's an amazing experience.
It's great stuff to think. Yeah. The 66 Comet led to Tyler Florence becoming a chef, working in a restaurant. Who knows what would have happened?
They got 3 miles to the gallon. It
wasn't a sustainable situation.
It was 17 feet long. It was a huge car.
Tough to park, but yeah. You don't need to worry about parking now, because yeah. Tyler and Tim McHenry have brought Napa to you through Coopersalk. So, guys, thanks so much for what you're doing. It's exciting to have you here doing this, and thanks for being on WGN today.
So great to be here with you, and thank you so much for always tracking me down to make sure we get a quote together. So it's great to be here.
Tyler, it's great.
You're the best, brother. Yep, thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having us, yeah.
Hey everyone, this is Will Power, IndyCar driver, and you are on the road today on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and we talk all the time with race car drivers, those in the motorsports community, and oftentimes we have to enjoy that from sort of a distance. You know, sometimes we can be up close and personal in the pits, you know, right there at the track watching it, or even watching some of the action on television. That's not bad, but when you can find an opportunity to get out there and actually get in some of these cars and drive some of these tracks and feel, you know, that excitement of motorsports and racing firsthand, it is something that I don't think can be beat. I mean, when you think about racing and you look at the other sports, like football and baseball, you know, Anthony Rizzo isn't looking for opportunities to play pickup baseball every single day. But when it comes to the drivers, even on their days off, they are looking to race either dirt tracks or other racing. They just can't get them out of the car. So there's got to be something to it. On the line with us now, we have the CEO and founder of one of the, I mean, it's the premier motorsports compound maybe in the country, certainly course and certainly club. And it is so close to home. And we've got the CEO and founder of Audubon Country Club with us. It's Mark Bass. So Mark, welcome to WGN.
Thanks a lot, Dane. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, it's exciting. You know, there are certain people out there that if they did not exist, there would be a lot less joy in the world. And I think for those people who love cars and motorsports, you are that guy, because this is the kind of thing that just wouldn't happen everywhere. It isn't, you know, it's not a McDonald's franchise where there's one on every corner. This is a very unique thing. And it's the kind of thing that has been difficult to put together. You can't just run right into it. Now, I remember back, and this had to be a long time ago, during like the Cool Cars Under the Stars car shows in Elmhurst, I would do some of the radio broadcasts to support that. And I would talk with, I don't know that it was you, but there was someone who was involved in that conceptual part of it. I think I may still have one of those brochures, but this has been a dream that was a long time coming.
Yeah. It's been quite a journey, as they say. But when I was growing up, my parents belonged to a golf country club, and, you know, but I was always a car guy. So I would just, you know, love to, you know, drive my Trans Am down the entrance road way too fast. And of course they said, hey, you know, I don't know about your son belonging to this place. So, but then, you know, after college, did a lot of amateur stuff at different car clubs and went to a lot of tracks that were very far from civilization and had zero amenities. So after, you know, you have a family and it's like, hey, I like this fun hobby, but no way are they coming with you to, you know, some track far away that has no amenities and nothing for them to do. So, you know, it's kind of always thought, how come nobody's blending the idea of the structure of a golf country club with a road course? So it was really just a simple concept, and then started getting the business plan together in the mid-90s, got my partners together, and, you know, the three of us all had opposite talents. My background is insurance. My partner, Tim O'Donnell, his background is law, and he's a tax attorney, CPA, and then Mike Keck was owned an advertising agency. So all of us had very opposite talents, and which was very important to have the structure to be able to create this concept called the Audubon Country Club.
Well, you guys had different talents, but the one thing you had is that common bond, along with so many people who are fans of what it is that you do, and just fans in general, is kind of the love for motorsports. I always thought that it was one of those crazy things that they sell these aspirational vehicles, and, you know, we've got people and friends that have maybe some of those. Maybe you've got a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, but you have absolutely no legal way of enjoying that in the way that it was intended. And now, was that it too, or you got, as you were out there kind of saying, wouldn't it be great to have, you know, a country club based around motorsports, that you found people that said, I know, you know, I've got, you know, two cars in my garage that would love this club.
Right. You know, and as the population in the Chicago area has just grown and grown, you know, when you're 16-year-old kids and you had a Corvette or something, and there were country roads that every once in a while you could have some fun, but you know, there's the population, there's just too much risk, too much legal issues. So it really, and the cars have gotten, over the last 13, 15 years, cars have gotten amazing. The performance of, you know, even a minivan is faster than the top car, muscle car that was ever created.
But, Mark, do you have a lot of minivans out there?
No, but if you look at what, you know, even SUVs now, some of the sporty SUVs are faster and handle better than the sports cars from 15 years ago. So really, these vehicles require a place where you can actually drive them the way they're meant to be driven, and that's definitely part of the reason behind Audubon.
It's exciting stuff, and so let's talk about the different ways that people can enjoy it. You know, maybe not from the country club perspective for everyone, but there's ways to get out there and experience it, you know, for the day, or even bring your company out there. So talk about the ways people can get involved.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that Audubon is basically three different companies. There's Audubon Country Club, which is the parent club, which obviously sells the membership, and, you know, that's what the club is all formed around, the members, you know, their enjoyment of the facility. But we also have Audubon Circuits and Audubon Realty. So Audubon Circuits, we have two tracks there. North is 1.5 miles. The south is 2.2 miles. and they link together to form a 3.5-mile circuit, which is one of the largest in the U.S. And then we also have a go-kart track. So under Autobahn Circuits, we rent out one of the tracks, and so we have a lot of different events from car clubs and experiences like Extreme Experience, where people can come out and pay a few bucks and have an exotic car experience. So that's one of the ways that people can come out and utilize the facility. They're not a member. But Autobahn has our own performance fleet of cars, which is amazing. We have cars from Audi, BMW, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Lexus, Infiniti, Maserati, Mercedes, Porsche. So members and non-members can come out and, you know, sign up for an Autobahn experience, which is a half-a-day program where you get to drive on track at speed with helmets. You get to autocross, which is time competitive. You get a hot lap with a pro driver, a nice meal, and it's just a great afternoon for, you know, a little over $600. I mean, you get 2 hours of driving in that, which is a huge value compared to the cost of the program. The other program that we do, which is a lot obviously underlooked a lot, is our defensive driving program. So we're very fortunate that BMW has sponsored our defensive driving program this year. So we have a whole fleet of brand new, beautiful BMWs. And for defensive driving, it doesn't go on track, this program. It's strictly learning, you know, the basic skills that driver's ed does not teach anyone. You know, so we have a skid car, which is one of the BMWs with these outriggers on it, and it teaches people how to control a car and oversteer, understeer. They do a wet braking anti-lock drill. They do a lane change maneuver. There's classroom time. So we do this program for teens. So, you know, it's $389, which is way cheaper than your deductible. So really, every parent whose teen gets their driver's license should be coming out here. And, I mean, it saves people's lives. Car accidents are the leading cause of death among teenagers. So, you know, for less than the prom, believe me, I know, and a pair of jeans, you can actually do a full day out here where these kids can actually learn how to save their lives. And then we do the modified program for corporate groups because, you know, you have a company, pharmaceutical company, or any business that has a bunch of sales guys or executives out on the road. I mean, when you're self-insured, one accident is $40,000-$50,000 off the books between workman's comp, loss of time, legal issues. So, you know, we've trained police departments. We've trained a lot of companies.
Wow.
And it's immediate results in savings from bottom line. It's a huge return on their investment, you know, with the saving money in claims and insurance and everything. So that is really an underutilized program that we have here, and we can do it all year round because it doesn't happen on the track.
See, that's not something that isn't necessarily a topic that I had thought of, you know, or was planning to talk about. But
right.
You look
right.
in this day and age, just recently on the air, there's like a new elevated culinary grocery store that's, you know, doing deliveries within an hour. And you look at things like Amazon, you know, right. Where they've, you know, got Amazon Now and they're dropping stuff off within an hour. So much of, then you've got the Uber and the Lyft. You've
right.
got so many different elements of our economy in different demographics that are working on the road now, right? There's more right. people on the road working, and you don't necessarily think of that extra stuff, you know, as far as the safety part of it. So I think that's great to mention. Now, here's the other part. You mentioned, you know, the whole kind of, and people may have a romantic attachment with, you know, the Fast and Furious kind of stuff or even stuff from Greece, right, where you just find a lonely road and you race. But the safety just isn't there. And so that's nice to have a little bit of instruction time, certainly some of the equipment, and make sure that if you're going to have fun in some of these vehicles, because as cool as they are also powerful and they deserve a little bit of respect to have that safety.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mentioned before. I mean, the modern car is fast. I mean, even four-cylinder little cars are, you know, two-liter cars are putting out over 200 horsepower now. It's common practice. So really, people really need to learn how to drive these cars, but also learn, you know, have a place to enjoy them the way they're meant to be driven. And, you know, it's just, there's just too much risk these days. And as the highways get more and more crowded, this is, you know, this is nirvana for car guys. And you can come out here, you know, we do car shows. We do also the go-kart track. And karting is often overlooked, too, because that's, you look at all the F1 drivers and IndyCar drivers, they've all started their careers in karting.
Yep.
And karting is very inexpensive. We have a whole fleet of carts, you know, for come out for less than $100 a person to do a corporate event or a bachelor party or just a group of guys come out and girls to come out and just do an event or charity events. We do endurance racing for charities, which is a lot of fun. So we get a team of four people, and you know, the first guy goes out for 15 minutes, and then the next person, and after an hour, whichever team has the most laps wins. So it's a really fun way to raise money for your charity and have a blast.
Well, it's cool. So there's a lot of different ways to enjoy it, from every, you know, budget, you know, in every situation, right, whether it's just an individual enthusiast or a company, right, or somebody. And let's talk a little bit about, you've mentioned amenities, and I think that's one of the things that really sets Audubon apart, is that you have taken that time to make it a place that you can really enjoy, that you can feel a part of, that you can customize, that you can make your own. It isn't as though you have to take this investment and people baby their cars. You know, it's a big step, you know, to give this to Mark, you know, give your car to Mark to hold on to. And so you find a way to make it so that you can take the places where the cars are, the garages and the facilities, and really make them your own.
Yeah, the infrastructure was key to making Audubon work. So, you know, in order to do that, we've sold lots that's around the track. We've sold 74 lots around the property. And on these lots, members have built these garage mahals, which are just incredible. So we have four pro race shops here. So what this does is allow the infrastructure that a member, you know, or someone out in a track day or whatever has some issue, or they're not sure about a tire, we have pro guys here that can take a look at your car, they can store it, they can maintain it for you. So just like having a boat at the marina, you can show up on Thursday and the car's gassed up, fueled up, ready to go. So you can go out and play. And when you're not playing on track, you can come in the clubhouse and have a nice meal. We have an award-winning chef here. We have pro instructors. Our three pro instructors, Tom Bagley, raced at Indy for 3 years. Tony Kester's raced at Le Mans. Brian Lift has raced races World Challenge right now in Pro Mazda. So you get top instruction and so much track time here that our members, when they initially join, who just might have had a street car, suddenly in 5-6 years, some of these guys are racing professionally now just because of the
wow,
opportunity. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like a golfer. If you couldn't practice, you're not going to be too good of a golfer. But, you know, when you have a track and as a member, you can come out as much as you want. And the other side of it, the real estate side, Audubon Realty, has just probably been the most exciting development of, you know, the whole, you know, country club. And really, we are unmatched anywhere around the country. You know, we have over 30 garage mahals that have been built, and Bobby Rahal has a garage mahal here, and they're just getting bigger and and more fun. Each one, everybody tries to outdo the next guy. So,
well, Mark,
really
when you put out there that the possibility, right, you get in there, you're having fun, and just
right,
before you know it, you're racing professionally. That's a great way to offset some of your membership fees, I'm sure, with a lucrative career as a race car driver. So that's something definitely to look out for. We'll let the listeners know we're talking with Mark Basso. He is the CEO and one of the founders over there at Audubon Country Club in Joliet. And it would be cool for us to be able to, I know we've talked about it back and forth, to do the show live from the facility, or to have some, you know, a couple listeners out. I think that would be really, really cool.
Sure. We'd love to have you guys out to broadcast. We also do endurance racing. We do a 3-hour, a 5-hour, and a 12-hour. And this year our 12-hour is going to be a dusk till dawn race, which is going to be very fun. So they get headlights on the cars. There's no lights on track, so it's the cars lit up and go all night. So we'd love to have you guys out and broadcast from the pits and listen to the sounds and smells and everything, and get some listeners out. They can wave a flag, or we'll give them a pace car ride or something real fun.
Oh, it sounds great. For those of you who want to get more information, you got some great photos on the website as well. Give the website, and then give some information how people can keep up with all of different things. And I know you guys have you know a lot of events going on as well.
Yeah, we have, you know, Cars and Track is our kind of our Cars and Coffee event. The first one is next Saturday, the 20th. It starts at like 10 a.m. And Audubon's website is audubonCC.com. And then once you go on there, it's easy to enter your email and then join our mailing list. And then you get updated on all the amazing events that come out here. And we have the 24 Hours of Lemons coming out. We've had motorcycle racing. So yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Now.
So there's not a high bar on expectations of the car for the 24 Hours of Lemons?
Lemons. It's unexpected, but it's a blast.
Oh, that is great. For those people that love racing, love cars, love you know, what we're doing on this show, you know you're going to love the opportunity to get out there and experience it, whether it's for the day or whether it's for an extended period of time. With the car that you haven't been able to fully enjoy you can do that with Mark down at Autobahn. So one more time with the website, Mark, before we let you go.
It's AutobahnCC.com.
Mark Basso, he is down there at Autobahn Country Club. Thanks so much for what you're doing. And we are back on the road with Dane here, 720 WGN. I want to thank everybody that listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated, all of the people that chimed in. Our winner for the Indy 500 tickets is Ron Atness. He has a, I think it was a 1968 Firebird was the car that he had called in or texted in with. And so he's going to win the two tickets to the Indy 500. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to have Helio Castroneves and also the Bare Naked Lady. Stay tuned for Kevin and Harry on the Beat. And we're going to go to break right now, 720 W.